Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to seek after you through your word. Holy Spirit, would you work in amazing ways as we hear how you redeemed a man filled with demons. Redeem us as well. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we are in Luke chapter 8, the gospel reading for today. And if you got your Bible with you, you can open it up because we're going to kind of be talking about this story and checking out what's happening. So picture the scene with me, if you will. It was either at night or very early in the morning when Jesus and the disciples arrived on the other side of the lake after a storm. And as they're stepping out onto the beach, they hear this terrifying shriek. They look up and they see this naked wild man running toward them. And the man's body is covered with scars. He's got caked on blood. He's got fresh, bloody wounds in some places. He's got uncut and unkempt hair, an untrimmed beard. It's matted. It's tangled. He has a wild, demented look in his eyes. And dads, if this guy came up to you today, to your kids, and was like, "Ooh, I love little children," you would be like on guard. You'd be ready to go. Like, there's something not right with this guy, and he's getting nowhere near my kids. He has a body odor. He reeks. He doesn't live in a house, but he lives among the tombs because he's more comfortable being around dead people than those who are alive. Luke doesn't record what the disciples did when they encountered this man. They see him and they hear his shriek. But I can picture them scrambling back to the boat or looking for rocks and sticks to defend themselves. They were ready to go, like, "Hey, we're this guy, there's something off." But Jesus, he steps forward. He spoke the word to the demons and legion. This man was now different. In regards to evil spirits or demons, the devil, C.S. Lewis tells us this. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive, an unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist and magician with the same delight. If Satan cannot pull you down with disbelief, he will just as happily push you overboard with an obsession about him. So here's what C.S. Lewis is saying. We need to admit that spiritual warfare is real, that the devil is real, that his minions are real. Yet, we also, at the same time, don't need to be obsessed with the devil. We need to focus our eyes instead on Jesus. And so we see this man, Legion, and he's demon-possessed. He's got these evil spirits, and they're using his body. And so the man falls down and cries out. And this man is not worshiping Jesus. Instead, the demons are crying out for mercy from Jesus. Now, notice in Scripture it says the demons know that Jesus is real, but they don't believe in him. I mean, they believe that he's there, but they don't believe he's the Savior of the world. They're not saved. Well, they believe Jesus is divine. They just don't believe in Jesus. It's been said maybe that they were 18 inches from being saved. What does that mean? Well, for most people, the distance between your brain and your heart is 18 inches. You can measure it later when you get home. Maybe you have a long neck like me, it may be longer. But what it's saying is they knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. And dads, on this Father's Day, like one of the main roles that Jesus gives us as spiritual leaders of the household is to disciple your kids and your wife. And hey, I'll be the first to tell you, like the last couple of weeks has been just a flat out like struggle for me in doing it. I haven't done the greatest job with my kids or my wife. So I'm not saying it's always easy, but I'm saying that that's what Jesus calls us to. Because we don't want our kids or our wife just to know Jesus here. They got to know Jesus here. And those you mentor, those you live life with, that's an important calling that Jesus gives us, because we don't want people just to know him. We want people to know him. And so, Legion, this man filled with evil spirits, why was his name Legion? Well, that word is defined as a Roman military unit of about 6,000 foot soldiers and about another 120 on horse. So what it's saying is when Jesus says, "What's your name?" and he says, "Legion, for we are many," it's the evil spirits are saying, "Hey, there's a lot of us here in this man. There's a lot of evil spirits, of demons." And here's what's interesting. They start begging Jesus in verse 31 to not command them to depart into the abyss. Instead, they go, "Hey, Jesus, we have an idea. What if you just put us in those pigs over there on the hillside? That would be a great place." And Jesus is like having a yes day on this particular day. And he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to throw you in the abyss. And you know what? That is a great idea. Y'all go ahead and go in the pigs. Perfect." And here's what happens. They go into the lake and they all drown. They rushed into steep bake and they all drown. All the pigs, evil spirits gone. I mean, do you realize they had all these evil spirits and there were a lot, thousands of demons. They had to ask permission to Jesus. Can we go out of the man and go into the pigs? I mean, isn't this crazy? Like, don't you think the demons would have been like, "Hey, there's a lot of us. There's a legion of us. We can take him." But instead, they knew their role. They knew they had to stay in their lane because they knew who was driving. And it wasn't them. It was Jesus. And so he allows them to do what they would like, but notice who's in control the whole time. Jesus is in control. And friends, Jesus is in control of your life in the same way, just as he was driving the demons and the pigs' lives. He's going to make sure that you don't go down in the lake. Now, with that being said, does that guarantee that you're not going to receive not a great prognosis, or that you're going to not receive some diagnosis of a terminal disease? No, I can't guarantee you that. That could happen. Does that mean that you're going to live past age 50 and not get hit by a car? I don't know. I can't guarantee that. Does that mean that as we're dealing with inflation and potential job losses coming down the pike, that you're going to be free from that? You're not going to be affected by that? No, I can't guarantee that. But what I can guarantee is that Jesus is with you during these things. What I can guarantee is even if you or I or a loved one dies earlier than you think they should, that Jesus gives them victory in heaven, eternal life as a follower of Christ. That he doesn't leave them out. He doesn't just kind of let them be. They are with Jesus forever. That's an awesome, awesome gift. The greatest gift we could ever receive, because Jesus paid the price for us. And even on earth, as we struggle with things, Christ is with us. He promises us very clearly in his word, I never leave you nor forsake you. And I always love to say, no matter what. Now, all the evil spirits put in the pigs, they all go in the water, they drown, and then what happens? Here's the man, formerly known as Legion, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He has clothes on. He's in his right mind. This sight must have been wild for the people around to see, because the man's past history and condition were well known. He probably had been a nuisance and a terror in the neighborhood for years. And now he's like calm, he's clothed. In one moment, a complete change came over him because of Christ. When Christ is the physician, nothing is impossible. Commentators will say marvelous is the change that happened here as the demoniac's condition was healed. But it's not one whit more marvelous than the change which passes over everyone who is a follower of Christ. When they encounter the grace and mercy of Jesus, either through baptism or as the Holy Spirit just works in their hearts, whether it's as a baby, as a child, as an adult, where they proclaim Jesus as Savior, it's not any more miraculous than that, because every time that happens, every time a baby's baptized, a child's baptized, an adult's baptized, every time a young man or woman stands up and says, I believe in Jesus as Savior, it's a miraculous event. You know why? Because without Jesus giving us faith, we would do or say anything else outside of that. But because we have the gift of faith given to us by Jesus, it's a miraculous event when somebody proclaims Jesus to be Lord and Savior. It's nothing else than the miraculous release of the captive, the miraculous release of the man or woman to his right mind, the miraculous deliverance of a soul from the devil. That's why Martin Luther said before baptisms, even before baby's baptisms, depart evil spirit and make room for the Holy Spirit. Said it every time. Why? Because that child is a child of God. That adult is a child of God. And it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, he doesn't win. And so this man's change is complete. He's calm. He's sane. He's clothed. And the people freak out. Probably for two reasons. One, their entire livelihood has just went down into the water and drowned the pigs. You see, these weren't Jewish people. These were Gentiles. And their livelihood was these pigs, being able to sell the pigs. And without that, they lost their livelihood. So they were angry. They were confused. They were hurt. And then the fact of the matter is they probably known this guy for their entire lives. And now he's like normal. That would be a lot for any of us to handle. So you know what they do? Jesus, hey, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You got to go. Can you just leave? Please leave. This is a story with some really strange twists in it. Jesus says yes to unbelievers and to the demons. But when the man who had been healed says, Jesus, please, can I be with you? Can I go with you? Jesus says no. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, right? It kind of seems backward. Why would Jesus act this way? Well, maybe Jesus granted the request of the local people to leave their region because of the fact that Jesus' main mission at the time was the Jewish people. And since they were Gentiles and they had kind of hardened their hearts, even after they saw a miraculous event, Jesus allowed them to just kind of do their thing. Also, he is telling this man who had now been healed, hey, you stay here. You proclaim the good news of the gospel to these people. I'll go and focus on another mission at hand. And so these are what happened. So what do we learn about this? We learn we need to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Anybody who's experienced Christ's transforming power has to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And we learn how we can do this by seeing how this man who had demons went from a maniac to a missionary. Look at what happened. So we're going to look at this with three options. First, how do you go? How do you go? What did this guy do? Well, when you go, you have to declare what God's done for you. You have to do what Peter tells us. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. And so you just tell your story. But you go with obedience and zeal, and that's what this man did. You know, the man didn't want to go home. He wanted to go with Jesus. He made that very clear. Maybe he was a bit disappointed at first, but you know what he did? He obeyed Jesus. He went, and he knew who was driving. He knew that because of Jesus, we have hope and forgiveness and grace. He wanted to share that. He wanted to be obedient to Jesus, his new Lord of his life. And going also includes zeal along with obedience. Jesus said, return to your house. Legion, this man, went to the whole city. Mark even says he went to the Decapolis, which was a region consisting of 10 towns. So not only did he go to his own town to tell about Jesus, he went to the whole region to tell people about the hope and joy that Jesus has offered him and has given him. Sometimes those of us who have been Christians a long time, we need to stop and think about how much the Lord did in saving us. And then we also need to stop and think about how much and how desperately those who are without Christ need him. See, Legion was going to witness to normal people. Think about this. They never lived like he did. They had clothes on probably most of the time, unlike he did. But they were just as alienated from God as he had been. So he eagerly told them of their need for a Savior. May Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, provide us with that obedience and zeal as well. So the second thing we look at, to whom do you go? He said, go to your home. What does that mean? You go to friends and family, to the relationships you already have. Those in your circles of influence. See, the New Testament pattern for evangelism is you go into your circles of influence, to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your job, those who you work with, those who you go to school with, your common interest groups, community contacts, and you tell them the awesome things that Jesus has done for you. And you just share your story, and you may say, they all know me. That's the point. They all know you. You share with people you already have relationships with. You know, it's really impossible if your thought process of how the church grows and how the gospel is shared, if your thought process is, well, Pastor Danny and Pastor Rich are going to take care of it. Like, they're just going to do it. That's what we pay them to do. No, that's not the way it works. We are here to help equip you so that you can go and we can go together. It takes all of us to share the hope and joy of Jesus. And if you're mad at me for saying that or because you're uncomfortable, don't go to me. It's here. It's in Scripture. Jesus tells us very clearly to go share the good news of Jesus with those around us in our circles of influence and shared the grace of Jesus. Because every false religion out there says that we have to do all these works and all this stuff. But Jesus is the only one that says, I've already paid the price for you. I give you hope and joy that never ends. You may be thinking, okay, I want to share the hope and joy of Jesus with my friends and my family, but they're kind of messed up, Pastor Danny. Like, I got to get them kind of on a different level. I got to make them look a little nicer and talk a little nicer and act a little nicer before they come here because I would be embarrassed. Here's the deal. If you had a conversation with Legion after he had converted to Christ, maybe it would go something like this. But Legion, I mean, didn't you put on some clothes before you went to Jesus? No. I just ran to him. I was stark naked. But Legion, didn't you clean up and hide your bloody wounds before you went to Jesus? No. I looked hideous. But Legion, didn't you try to get rid of your demons before you went to Jesus? I mean, no, the demons were shrieking through my voice when I ran up to him, and he saved me just as I was, totally by his grace, not by anything at all that I did. Friends, that's grace. That's what Jesus has done for you and me. He can do it for other people too. So receive that grace and forgiveness that you have. And then share it with those around us because the world needs to hear about the hope that you have. Tell them. Amen. Please rise.